Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
3-2, swung on, a pop foul back here.
Ow!
Hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Whose idea was it to play that one in there? All the great legendary Sterling calls. That, him getting hit with the... I mean, it was funny, but that's what you're going to play? Come on.
Well, like, I got a question for you, by the way. You think they like stick, maybe they just do it another day, but do you think that they surprise him with some sort of a microphone or some sort of symbol that they either put in Monument Park, or are they doing something like that for
you
him
know,
tomorrow?
That's a great question.
They should.
Somebody's going to do something. I mean, what, rename the booth? Is it as simple as that?
I mean, I would think that's a given.
From now on, the John Sterling broadcast booth, that's a given.
Yep.
Little unveiling in Monument Park with they should. You're right.
Right? Could do it.
I mean, why not? He's earned it. And you could say some of the players out there, the Yankees have been a little lean, giving that stuff away out there with Monument Park, letting everybody get some.
Well, I mean, you always say that, and what do I always say back? When you have a lot of stars, you got to squeeze them in.
So
you know, we don't take us 20 years to get somebody like Kuzman up there. Like, you guys waited.
Don't bring even Doc. You know, 30 years too late.
Yeah.
Dove says it brings up a good point. Not enough time to make a plaque.
What do you mean not enough? That's a horrendous point.
No. What do you mean? So you can't make one of those full plaques in a week, can you?
Well, that's
like
why,
a Monument Park one.
Well, I mean, I think
it's been a week.
No. Well, first of all, money could do anything. I don't know that necessarily. He's right next to Babe Ruth and plaques, but. I don't know, some sort of visual microphone. I'd have to think they're doing something.
Yeah.
What else is he going there
for? I don't know. You're right. I never really thought it through that much other than just maybe acknowledging him, having him on the field, a little ceremony, pregame. I didn't think about anything like renaming, but I guarantee they'd rename the booth after him, as they should.
You don't remember this. You were too young. I don't even really remember, quite frankly, in real time, but I've seen it a million times in on YouTube, whatever. When the Yankees honored Phil Rizzuto back in the day, Dove, you'll probably remember this.
The cow?
Oh, so you saw that.
Yeah,
and when
I do
he tripped
that.
Over the cow?
I remember.
He tripped and fell over the cow.
He was one of my favorites, man.
He was the best. I loved Phil Rizzuto.
He was so great. Yeah. Entertaining personality.
He was.
Made watching those Yankee games enjoyable. Because him and the Yankees at that particular time.
You're talking like 89, 90?
Yeah,
like
for
about
me,
that.
Early, yeah. Probably yeah. Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, they were tough. They were tough watch for a couple years, no question.
Bob Wickman, Scott Sanderson, right?
Yeah, Melito Perez, Pascual Perez. Ooh, yeah. I mean, you know, Matt Noakes behind the dish, Bob Guerin. I mean, you could just go on to Hensley Mullins, Mike Blowers, Randy Vallone.
Hensley Mullins found himself in some controversy.
You saw this? I did. Go ahead.
Hoff, I don't know if you saw. Hoff's not even in there.
Been gone all day.
So I saw, let me get the account up. I think it was either John Boy or Bogus had it in the update, that Hensley Mullins on a flight back from, on the team charter from, let me just make sure who had it. I think Talking Baseball as opposed to Talking Yanks had the exact thing. Hensley Mullins was posting a video from, John Boy Media tweeted it out. The Rockies are under investigation, federal investigation, after Hensley Mullins, who's the hitting coach for the Rockies, posted a video of himself in the cockpit of the team's flight. Like, what are you doing?
Was it on the tarmac or was it in the air?
No, they're in the air.
Are you sure?
Yes, because he's saying, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I could. He's talking about, I'm getting ready to land the plane right now. You can.
What?
And now, I mean, I'm assuming he was joking and they wouldn't let him touch it, but the fact that he was actually sitting in what appears to be the pilot chair, I don't know, but he's in the cockpit, not just standing there like, hey, guys, what's going on up here? He's in there pointing at things and looking like he's going to touch things and sitting there in the seat behind the steering wheel, or whatever you call it for a plane.
Yeah,
what do you call
it?
The control. And United Airlines says, we are deeply disturbed by what we see in that video. Yeah.
I would be too. Yeah.
Imagine being on that flight. Like, get the hell out. I don't know. You a good flyer or no?
Good flyer? Yeah. I've never flown anything in my life.
No. I mean, like I'm not good.
As a pilot. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, I don't get nervous. It's a pain in the ass. I can't stand doing it, but I'm never like afraid or like.
I am.
Nauseous.
I can't. Yeah,
no,
I get,
none
no,
of that
I hold
stuff.
On for dear life
really?
On takeoff. Yeah, turbulence, I'm not good with. Yeah, man. I don't like. I know that we're not in control and we like to think that we are, but I don't like feeling that I'm not in control. And when you're up there, you know you're not in control.
No, that is true.
And I don't like that feeling. So I'm not a good flyer. If I saw anybody messing around whatsoever, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Well, it's the team plane, so it wouldn't be like some random person in row 32B who was trying to get a connecting flight says, who is this strange non-pilot
right.
in the
yeah,
cockpit?
Still, if we were on Boomer's,
maybe the shortstop is wondering what's going on, but
if we were on
not somebody else.
If we were on Boomer's private jet somewhere.
Nice. Yeah, it'd be nice to be invited on that at some point.
Mike used to take me all the time. Mm. If Boomer invited us on that and you got up and started, hey Boomer, and you would do this too. Let me get in the cockpit.
What do you
let me
mean
take
I would do this? Well, I've been on private flights, I haven't done that. I've been charters.
Well, I just feel like
I've never done it once.
Sal, you're good with that. Like you lead the way and like try
yeah,
to
but
get
not
us
into
to
things
do...
I, that are irresponsible.
Oh, all right. Well,
I mean, I wouldn't look to go in the.
Hey,
finish your thoughts,
though. Cockpit.
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
Let me take a picture in the cockpit. Hey, check this out. Post on Instagram, whatever. Get the hell out of there. Don't go in there.
Actually, listen.
Well, maybe you wouldn't do that.
I mean, post a picture on Instagram in the cockpit? I have one picture
while
that
the plane's
I posted.
Flying? Yeah.
I have one picture on Instagram that I did post literally from a charter flight coming back from Green Bay, and I'm holding a bottle of scotch and a bottle of vodka. Nowhere near the cockpit.
Right.
That's the only thing that I posted.
As it should be. I mean, I don't know what kind of federal investigation, though.
Don't know.
Like,
I don't think Hensley could get in trouble as much as the airline, the private company.
Yeah, and then I feel bad for the people who are just trying to, like.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They're trying to be nice.
Yep.
It's a team charter. You know, you're saying, all right, you want to take a picture up here? Fine, sitting here.
The rules a little more liberal on a non.
Yeah, whatever.
You know,
and then the idiot posts
flight.
It to Instagram, yeah. And now these people are going to lose their job because
God,
of it.
God, I hope they don't lose their jobs. So, are you sure that it's in flight? Are you 1,000%? Are you 1,000%?
Okay, you're rolling.
I'm flying the plane.
Like, you hear it? It's
rumored. I hear it. It's a little, I mean, it's audible. It's not the greatest. But are you sure he's not just messing around saying, I'm flying the plane and pretending? I asked that because my father-in-law is a former pilot.
Okay.
A fighter pilot, but also a highly ranked pilot who recently retired at one of the major airlines in our country. And I can't tell you how many times we've gotten on a plane where.
You get hooked up?
Not anymore. Ooh. No. But where the kids will take a pic, but we're on the ground.
Right.
And like the kids will take a picture, like the pie, come on in. Like this one, like they were four or five years old.
Well, that's different.
Well, that's why I keep asking, are you sure they're in the air?
I'm pretty sure. I'm looking at the video. I mean, I can't see it. Is it a simulator? I don't know. Yeah. I would assume that if he were on the tarmac, he's not going to be getting federally.
Wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah,
that's
right.
True.
BT and Sal on the fan, 877-337-6666.
He's probably a better pilot than hitting coach.
Yeah. That was one of those guys. Another Yankee prospect. Yeah, Spencer Jones, get in line.
Stop.
That was back then.
Don't start shading Spence.
Hensley Mullinson. My Uncle John, you met Hensley Mullinson. Yeah, I know. Collect all those cards. Right. 1989 Don Russ. Hensley Mullinson. Don't miss.
Yeah.
Bam Mullinson.
Uncle seems like he goes to jump into a scheme unintentionally fast. A quick money scheme. I'm in, right? Doesn't he give off that vibe?
Yeah.
He does.
Richie is in East Iceland. What's up, Richie?
Rich!
Hey, guys, first of all, those planes fly themselves anyway.
That's true.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have somebody messing around with it in the cockpit. What if he touches a wrong button or something?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did it. Why not those guys, right?
Hey, you don't know what it's like dragging Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes every night. What do you know?
Yeah, it was his birthday this week. They had it all over Twitter on that one. It was great. BT,
yes.
Great stuff on Woody. I am, like, dying here. You know, I was thinking on Sunday night, you know, you guys watch the movie Elf with Buddy?
Yes,
of course.
When they told him Santa's coming. And Santa's coming! And he's jumping up and down because his uniforms are coming out tomorrow, right? And he did a good job with them, and I'm glad that they changed them. And, you know, I'm just, like, going through his tweets and stuff, and he's showing, you know, the stupid stadium, what it's going to look like at night on the first night of the thing.
I saw that.
You know, Boston's got to keep on putting on the jerseys, and all the boys showed up for pre-track practices. And yeah. Let me ask you guys.
It's too much to take without any semblance of success on the field. If they had, even if they made the playoffs, Richie, and lost last year, like, they were embarrassing last year. Now, you could say, yeah, because of Rodgers, but still, they talk like they won the Super Bowl. They talk like the AFC Championship games were 2 years ago, not 14 years ago.
Can I ask you guys something? Both of you guys, do you guys, deep down inside, think you both know more about football and a team and how to put, like, to own it even better than he does? Because I do.
Well,
I think that I'm better than, I think I know more football than he does. I think I would have been more touch with the fan base. Not in la-la land, like you just said, Sal, because...
I think so, too, honestly, Richie.
Yeah, I mean,
don't you think you would do a better job? I know it's like...
Running
it's
the
somewhat...
Jets? You want my honest answer? No. No. Now, if you're talking about, like, baseball and basketball, are they going to have a better chance
now,
to do well?
Why is that?
Because I think I know baseball better and basketball better than football. I'm talking about the trenches of football.
He's not asking salary cap.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it. You mean as an owner or what?
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. He's not asking you to be the general manager.
Oh, okay.
He's saying...
Oh, yeah, no. As an owner, I'd be phenomenal.
If you were rich as Woody or any of these owners and you could buy the team...
No, I'd be a great owner.
That's what I think.
No, I misunderstood the question. I'd be a great owner because what I think one of the first things I would have done with the Jets... is, I'm not saying I would have never fallen victim to the temptation of going with a young up-and-comer, but I don't know, in the 20-something years that I own the team, I probably would have gotten an established head coach in rather than somebody just firing things up for the first time.
Would you be tweeting about the jerseys the night of the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, listen, that was poor timing.
Richie's point was, you'd have a better timing's bad. Yeah, you'd have a better feeling. Would you tweet out something about Mark Sanchez?
Definitely not. That actually bothered me. Yeah. Like, that's like... Now, if it's Namath, if it's a stud, if the Jets drafted Marino all those years ago, and Kenny was okay, but if it was Marino...
He used
and
a bad draft pick.
13 days until the draft, and he got a picture of Dan Marino, and Dan Marino did for the Jets, but Dan Marino did for the Dolphins, that's fine.
Well, what's tomorrow? But, 5 days? Didn't they take Vernon Golston with the fifth pick? Why don't they tweet out him and give a nice symbolic? What was Vernon Golston then, the fifth or sixth
pick? I think Vernon was six or eight, but what they could do is, I think Pat Leahy, I'd have to double check, I think Pat Leahy, the old kicker, was number five. Back in the day.
Okay. Yeah, but
so you
my
just,
point
you know,
is like
5 day Pat Leahy days
sense.
Until the draft.
Why don't we celebrate, you know, Jets getting ready for their draft coming up on Thursday? Let's honor them by talking about Vernon Golston.
He never got a sack. Do you know that? He never got one. Never.
Right. It's like Woody's going to send a selfie with his playing him and Vernon Golston. Hey, getting ready for the draft.
I think Woody gets a lot.
Or D. Milner.
D. Milner. Yeah. Dude, that was a bad one from Bama. There's a lot of them. Quentin Culpepper, whatever. We don't need to reset history. I think that, listen, I think it's easy to pile on Woody. I think Woody's a really good person. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about as a human being, whatever.
Seems like a great guy.
He is. I met him, and he's a really nice, humble, down-to-earth man. So I'm not here to just disparage him. My message to Woody is know when to chime in and know when to lay out. And, yeah, as the owner... Pumping up pictures, the uniforms, which, by the way, I love. Now, you're not a Jets fan, so
no,
the uniforms
great.
Don't move you that much, but that logo means a lot to
That's
us.
That's not true.
I love the logo of the Sack Exchange.
It's not true that because I didn't grow up a diehard Jet fan, it doesn't move me. It does. I like the old school. What doesn't move me about it is I feel like they've worn them last year. They're not new. It feels like the same thing. Somebody's got to show me the side-by-side so I know the difference between the two.
Well, the difference is that we were clamoring for those every game, and the owner made it happen.
All right, but they unveiled it like it was some new thing. I'm like, oh, those? I already saw them in that last year. You sure that's not the same jersey?
Well, I mean, it's a little touch-up here and there.
Yeah.
It's his...
I love them. I think that they're great.
Yeah.
I'd rather those years than the. Even though I like now the Curtis
the Darnold
Martin ones,
or the what about the Herm ones with Pennington?
That's what I'm saying.
That's
like,
pretty cool.
Curtis
those
Martin
are the Titan ones, basically early Jets.
I like those. Yeah. It was a throwback to the older days. Those are cool, and I do think
I like
they would
those.
Be cool.
Namath wore those.
They'd be cool at some point to bring back. But me personally, I'm a Freddie Mitchell,
Johnny Mitchell
guy.
Boomer's old roommate on the road.
Right.
The tight end from Nebraska.
Himself, Al Toon, that green, that's what I like.
You know what I would do? In all seriousness, if I owned the Jets, I wouldn't bring back any uniform because nothing's worked in my life. I would just create new uniforms. That's what I would do.
But that's, to me, what it felt like they were going to do and tease. But it was said, we heard you, we love these throwback uniforms. I'm not knocking them because I love them. But
I would have to get one of these. And I haven't bought a jersey. Got my son a bunch.
Who would you get?
Bought a bunch. I did it again. Who would I
now
get?
Now it's so noticeable.
I know it is. Yeah. Jeez. Who would I get? I might either go for Sauce, and I look nothing like a corner, or Garrett.
Yeah.
I look nothing like a young wide receiver. I mean, I could go Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I love Rodgers.
But then what if he gets hurt again? Then you have, the Favre jersey.
I don't like the 8, though.
Well, forget about that. Gary Corder wore, Spree wore 8, Gary wore 8.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I know I don't like it. I actually have a Spree World jersey. I don't like, I just don't
like
it. You
think it looks good on a football jersey or any jersey?
Period.
8?
But I'm more of a double-digit guy on a jersey.
Yeah, well, me too. My number was 26.
I would probably get Garrett or Rodgers myself. But I would like a throwback. I'd like to get, Boomer or whatever.
You have a
Rob
Boomer
Moore.
Jersey.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I prefer those. These are great looking jerseys. You would get them? You get a new one?
I might. I probably won't because I'm just not a jersey guy at this point. But listen, I guess what I'm trying to say is Woody's an easy target, but I think a lot of it's undeserved. But when you don't win, back to what I said before, I think he doesn't know when to lay out.
Yeah. You got to know when to hold him. You got to know when to hold him.
Kenny Rogers. Yeah. Great song.
Yeah.
Great song. The Gambler?
It first?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sing here.
Right.
I mean.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I actually love it. If I'm in the car, I will cower to the county. Lucille, Ruby, I mean.
Now you're losing.
Pet it up, your lips and rose. And
I think it's time to break. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls on the other side. Also, caller of the day coming up next. We'll finish the shows here strong here with whatever you want to discuss. We got the Knicks game 1 coming up tomorrow. Obviously a big weekend. You got John Sterling being honored on Saturday.
Yamamoto tonight.
Yeah, Mets back in action tonight taking on Yamamoto. A lot going on here in the world of New Rangers, Islanders weekend as well. Islanders Saturday, Rangers Sunday. A lot to get to. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Sal is calling from Westchester. What's up, Sal?
Calling you guys. You guys had me cracking up before with this Ugas. Do you know Ugas? Do you know?
Well, we didn't really. I met him once, but I didn't really get a chance.
No, I'm not talking about the actual guy. Do you know what Ugas is? Like if somebody
it means
said
nothing.
Ugas.
You got nothing. Ugas. Right, Ugas, nothing.
No, that's not nothing.
Yes, it is.
Ugatsu. It's spelled U-C-A-Z-Z-U. Ugatsu. And Sicilian, they pronounce the C as a G. So that's where you get the Ugas from.
Uh-huh.
Ugas is the male private part. It's like a male rooster.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what that means.
That fits for what I was using it for as well, then.
Brandon, you got to start calling Sal. Fatcha da guts.
This guy.
Sal sounds like a trip.
Yeah,
you know, that was always fun. The old Italian slang.
Love it. And then you got the hand gestures. My grandfather, I can still see him. Rest in peace. With his white little T-shirt, slicking his hair back, his gold cross, shaving every morning with his Old Spice thing. Oh, man. I can still see it. Long time ago.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get back to your calls here. 877-337-6666. There is a tremendous quote that I just saw on social media that fires me up even more for game one tomorrow.
So okay.
You know Paul Reed, right? If I ask you who Paul Reed is, do you know who that is?
He is the dope who is underestimating the Knicks. And he's on the Philadelphia 76ers behind Embiid, yes.
Yeah, and truth be told, if you told me who Paul Reed was, I'd have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously now I know about him. Hey, maybe mission accomplished. He said something stupid and he got attention for it.
There you go.
Sounds familiar. Paul Reed, okay. When asked about it, Steph Bondi, I saw this according to Steph Bondi's Twitter account here, or X account. Josh Hart was asked about it. He said, I don't give a bleep about what he said. I don't care.
Does it begin with S or F?
F.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
That punctuates it perfectly.
It's a great question because it is a difference.
Yeah.
The other one's like, whatever.
Yeah,
but when you say it with the F.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The Knicks are taking note.
I like it.
Paul Reed may have just cost himself and his team the series.
That's
whatever
awesome.
Chance the 76ers had, I think the Knicks just... we've seen it go the other way in these series over the years. The bulletin board material is a real thing in these playoff games or playoff series.
I think it's less than it used to be, though.
Really?
I feel... I can't prove that.
This old school Knicks team?
Well, no, not necessarily here applying to this situation, but I think that people are more desensitized to inflammatory comments now because it's all over the place. You almost get used to it. Like,
not
I'll
like this.
I'm saying in general, society.
The Knicks are the easier team or whatever you exactly said. Yeah. This is the matchup we wanted. The Knicks are an easier team. That is a direct insult to everybody in that locker room.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. Like, when I hear insults like that, I take that personally.
Of course. How else could you take it?
And I think that this Knicks team, which is great for the city, they embody the city, they take that personally too.
I'll take it a step further. I want to see Josh Hart lay him out.
Throw some bows?
No, I'm talking about a foul. I don't mean not a punch.
Well, foul him hard.
Not where you take his knees out, where you, God forbid, injure his neck. He goes up for layup, you put him in the front row. You go for ball. Put him in the front row.
How do you think that would go over if somebody said that about the 90s Knicks?
You'd have Oak and Mace waiting outside.
You'd be in big trouble.
I'd start with those two, and Starks would be ready to go. Everybody would be ready to go.
Oak would be like, you know what? I don't know who that is, but tell him to come meet me after the game.
You ever hear the story? I don't know if I read this, I heard this. You know, I believe it's true, so I'm not trying to tell tales out of school. But I forget the opposing player, but like there was either an opposing player either owed Oakley money or it was over a girl. One of the two. And you know how on the day of the game, you have a shoot around and then the opposing team comes in shortly thereafter. Generally, there's a little interplay as you're leaving, they're coming, vice versa. Oakley just walked up to him and smacked him.
I mean, are you surprised?
No.
Yeah, not at all.
No.
I love those teams. And I think, not that this team is as physical or as nasty is not the right word.
You can't be as physical. Nobody's as physical.
Right.
You're not allowed
to
do it anymore.
But this team does have that. Look, they are a disciple of that group because Tibbs is a disciple of Jeff Van Gundy.
And Brunson's on the staff too. Brunson didn't do much, but his father
was a literal 90s Knicks. Yes. So Jalen gets it being around that team. Josh Hart, got heart, that type of toughness.
Oh, yeah. Hartenstein plays the right
DiVincenzo,
way. Everybody plays the right way.
You see DiVincenzo the other day? We're not avoiding any smoke.
Oh, yeah, I saw him.
Gotta love that. You just hope they now back it up when they go out there.
Mm-hmm.
Russell's calling from Wontaw. What's up, Russell?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Thanks so much for taking my call. You know, I've gotten the call before when you guys were talking about Carmelo Anthony. I didn't get to hear the whole call, but I love the opportunity to say Carmelo Anthony was the worst thing that ever happened to the Knicks. From the point where he forced them to trade for him because he couldn't wait 1 year for a max contract, refused to share the floor, refused to share the ball, and then ran anybody that threatened his celebrity and his status off the team and out of town. he was the worst thing that ever happened to the Knicks.
I think that's a little strong, the worst thing, but listen, the thing that bothered me the most...
he was selfish. You can't deny that.
I'm not. And I'm going to point out the most selfish thing that he ever did. And this is where... And I was a big Carmelo... I told you, I was at his first game after the trade.
Well, it was a big deal. I remember being excited about it, too. And then I watched him play every day, and I was like...
First couple of years, I was in, man. He was putting the ball in the hole. Knicks were much more competitive. They finally had an offensive superstar. I'm not looking to, lie about how I felt about him in real time. But it evolved. And I went from loving him to ready for it to end. And the last couple of years, I'm like, just trade him, get rid of him. But the thing that bothered me was it was a very selfish move is when he played in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I know, when he was hurt.
And he was hurt, and then he shut it down, literally did not play again the rest of the season. And that tells me, I'm sorry.
Well, you need to know.
He wants the adulation of 19,000 people, the epicenter of the NBA that night, and even, just because the All-Star game, but it's also the Garden, his home fans, blah, blah, blah. He needed to feel that, and it was more. And I know the Knicks weren't good that year. And I was a little more important to him than the actual Knicks season. And that's all I needed to know.
He prioritized hanging out with the celebs, going to be seen, wanting to be a part of the All-Star. That's what he cared about. He didn't love New York because of the grit and the toughness and embody anything about the 90s Knicks at all. He loved New York because it was New York City, and he could go out to nice restaurants and enjoy the attention and all that stuff. So much so that when the Knicks actually had success with Jeremy Lin, it bothered him because he wasn't the guy anymore. I mean, think about what we're talking about here. I don't want to make this about Carmelo Anthony because it really does feel like we're personally going after him. And I do think personally he's a great dude.
So do I.
I watched his reality show, his wife's reality show, so I love La La.
I don't think they're married anymore.
Well, whatever.
I think so.
I've been a big La La fan for a long time, so I've always loved her. I watched the reality show. I thought, I love their son. I hope he turns out to be a baller. He's going to be in the NBA one day.
He's a baller.
But I'm not knocking Melo's talent.
No, as a Knick.
The things that
it was less than.
Yeah, the things that I value... He does the exact opposite. Lazy, selfish, ball hog, not max effort, the energy, all that. It's the thing that I hate the most. Those qualities are the things that I have no tolerance for with athletes. He had all of them. He was the opposite. All the talent in the world, none of the other stuff. I value the other stuff.
Me too.
And the talent is kind of secondary.
I mean, the talent's a bonus. Like, yeah. if you have those elements that maybe he didn't have, it wasn't always in great shape, definitely hogged it up. But if you are a hard worker and you've got that special talent, that now you Jeter. You're somebody like that. Or Brunson.
Or Ewing, right, exactly. Or Ewing. Brunson Ewing. That's how my standard from a Knicks fan was set with Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
And he had the combination of all the things that we talked about. Obviously the talent, the heart, the determination, work ethic, all that stuff. And then it trickled on down through the rest of those guys. Almost all of those guys to a man, because otherwise you wouldn't have made it, whether it be for Riley, whether it be for Van Gundy. Those guys were all max effort, all heart, all toughness.
Kurt Thomas.
Kurt Thomas, Chris Childs. One of my favorite players. All those guys. Derek Harper. Yeah. Kurt Thomas. Was he the most talented player?
Nope.
Absolutely not. But I'd take him any day on my team. He'd smash your teeth out with an elbow.
Yeah.
He'd knock a jump shot down from the elbow. Mm-hmm. Like, Kurt Thomas was a warrior. Chris Childs, same thing. Charlie Ward. Toughness. All of those guys. Carmelo was not that. So my standard was set by the 90s Knicks. I never felt that from the 90s Knicks until now. Matter of fact, I felt it with Randle. I think Julius Randle has that.
He brought that back. Yeah, I don't disagree.
Not to the level of Ewing or Brunson, but he brought back the combination of toughness, hard work, maximizing his ability, and he had the talent to go along with
it. We're leaving one guy out, and it wasn't long, but I'm going to show the man the respect that he deserves, and that's Amari.
Agreed.
Because Amari wanted that. Now, maybe he didn't have the other offers, obviously the bum knee, and of course we know what happened. Amari wanted to be here. I remember the day when he walked into Two Penn Plaza, said the Knicks are back.
Yep, that was the quote.
And that man came here, and his first year and a half or so, he was one of the best players in the NBA, and then his body betrayed him.
I had more fun.
I respect Amari a lot.
Me too. More so than Melo.
Yeah.
But when Melo got here, Amari took a back seat.
Yeah, that's true.
And that bothered me. And remember, there was the old Carmelo and Amari work together. Well, I'd rather it be Amari's team. I had more fun watching them with Raymond Felton, Gallinari.
Yep.
It was Wilson Chandler. It was the first time I felt like, wow, this team is worthwhile. Led by Amari, who wasn't as dominant at that time as he's been in his career.
Mozgolf was on that team still.
They were playing the right way.
Agreed.
They traded for Melo. Everything changed.
I agree.
And now it's changed for the better because Brunson is better than Amari. And I'm not trying to disparage Amari. He's the best, as you said before, since Ewing.
He's their best player. He seems to be their hardest worker. And he's maybe the lowest maintenance superstar in the NBA. That's an amazing starting point.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anyway, I just don't want to do any more work. I've worked for 64 years, and in July I'll be 86. So, you know, let's face it, my time has come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. Everybody in this town getting excited for tomorrow. Game one, Knicks and the 76ers. Can't wait for that. In case you missed anything throughout the course of the day, and we've done a lot. We even talked about Soto and Alonzo. We didn't do much hockey. What else did we? Oh, we did a little Jets, and we were supposed to play the Joe Douglas stuff. We never did that.
Mentioned a little Yamamoto tonight against those Mets. Yamamoto. Your boys try to stay hot.
Anything you missed, check it out. The free Odyssey app. Now, we do have Joe and John Pelicano, right? That's how I say it? Okay, I'm bad with the name, so I apologize. We do have them in studio, the winners of the Hungerthon bidding, way back in November. Been fun hanging out with them today.
And that's a big deal for our station, by the way.
The Hungerthon.
Huge initiative, and I know you want to tell the story about the Sopranos. It's awesome. But John and Joe, obviously Joe is John's son, appreciate you guys stepping up. It's not a small check to cut. We're aware of that. You know, interesting economic times. So what you guys did was awesome. Thank you.
We do appreciate that, and that's why we wanted to show you extra love here today, hanging out with us, but very generous of you, and thank you for doing that. But then we learned John was a post-production video editor, and you did a lot of work for HBO, in particular Sopranos. Tell us that story, because we thought it was a good one that you could share on the air.
Okay, so we did a lot of my biggest client in my years working was with HBO, and one of the shows we worked on was The Sopranos, and we got involved with the distribution of the show. So we would get the episodes 3 to 6 weeks before they aired, and when we got the final episode, and we were all under NDA.
Yeah, you had to sign agreements?
We had to sign NDAs to do business with them, so. So we couldn't, call up Howard Stern and let out the...
If it ever leaked.
Or Boomer and Carton.
Yeah, whatever.
So we got the last episode, and of course everybody in the office wanted to see it. So we sat in the room with the equipment. We watched it. The last minute comes up.
Before editing it or after you watched it?
Well, we only distributed that episode.
Oh, okay, so we had nothing to do with editing it.
So we ended up... The episode plays, it goes to black at the end where everybody sees, so I think there's a problem.
Yeah, who didn't?
So, so I call up my contact down at HBO and I say, hey, watching the episode, I think you sent me a bad tape. I said, it goes to black at the end. I don't think that's what you want. He says, oh, let me check. He calls me back. He says, no, what they're doing is they shot three different endings. They're going to slot it in the day before. He says, no offense to you, but this is what they're going to do. So just proceed with what you have to do. I said, okay.
Oh.
So now it comes, the thing airs on the Sunday night. I think they played Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Yep. My wife and I sit down to watch the episode.
The young kid.
The episode plays. We get to the end. It goes to black. And I said, oh, my God. I said, somebody aired the wrong tape. They're going to, people are going to get fired tonight. So the next day I go into work. I call my contact. I say to him, hey, I said, how many people got fired last night when they aired the wrong tape? And he says, don't get mad at me. I just found out this morning that was their intention the whole time. It's not that they didn't trust you. They didn't trust any of us.
Oh, my God.
Now, by the way, what do you think happened to Tony there? What's your theory? Think he got whacked?
I think he got whacked.
Yeah, and they just didn't want to have somebody that we connected to
that
much.
But that's crazy that you, somebody worked on the show, post-production, all that stuff. You see, hey, something's wrong here. I remember watching the same thing, thinking, what the hell went on?
Yeah.
Dad, what's going on? Would you not pay the bill this month? I don't understand it. They just shut this thing off.
I called my sister because I lived in Manhattan at that point. And my sister, I was on the west side. She was on the east side. And I remember I froze. I was like the early stages of DVR, right? Or... Yep. Yeah, I think it was even called something different, but it was the early stages.
TiVo?
Yes, TiVo. There you go. I hit TiVo, and I ordered some Italian food, and I'm picking it up. So I'm like 2 minutes behind, but I'm like, did I not extend it to the next hour sequence? I thought that I missed the ending. So I called my sister. I said, Cher, what the heck happened? And she's like, I don't know. I think there's an outage in New York City.
Wow. That has to be, and I love the show. It's one of my favorites, if not my favorite of all
phenomenal.
Time. That has to be the worst ending ever because of all these stories from everybody who watched it thinking different things. Even in 6 weeks in advance, you watching it, John, as somebody worked on the show as far as editing it, you thinking that there's something wrong. That's got to, I mean, that is.
Well, besides Tony, Sal, who was your favorite character? John, I'm going to ask you too.
Probably Chrissy.
Chris Montes. I mean, Chris was the ball. Like Chris. You too, John?
Paulie Walnut.
There you go.
You look a little like
that's
him.
Close.
Thank you to John and Joe Pelicano for hanging out with us and for their generous donation with the Hungerthon. Hopefully you guys win again next year.
Thank you guys.
Maybe you take BT out this time in the baseball card world.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dolph. Thanks to Hoff as well. Let's go, Knicks, baby. Beat those 76ers. We'll see you Monday morning, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki are next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.